More people here than that. Good morning. There we go. There we go. It's good to be here this morning. My name is Drace Clevenger. For those of you who don't know who I am, been at this church for probably since 2005 when I come back to the area, and serve as a deacon and a teacher in Sunday school. And I just want to thank Adam for giving me the opportunity to preach. I've preached from this pulpit before when Pastor Mills was here at one time. Many of you, there's all kinds of new faces. Some of you may have heard me preach before. But I'm just glad to be here to be able to share with you. And I am glad that's the first time that my wife has had the opportunity to sing and minister. She's done it for me before in some other small places and in Sunday school, and I encourage her to continue to do that. I believe God has blessed her, and I just want to thank her for that. And don't worry, honey, I know I saw where you may have missed something. That's okay. I'll probably miss half my sermon today, but nobody out there will know. So, but I want to welcome you here. It is good to be here. I want to preach to you this morning out of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 29 and 12 through 14. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT for my verse this morning. If you have your Bibles and you open your Bibles up to Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14, or you have your phones, if you find that, I'm just going to ask if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14, and I'm just going to read the first half of 14. It says, "In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord." I'm going to read that again. "In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord." I titled my message this morning, "One of Those Days." Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I thank you for your presence this morning. I thank you for the worship, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, for all those, God, who put the time in to lead in the worship, God. And I just ask you, Lord, to continue to work through the rest of this service. I pray that your anointing be on me as your speaker, and your anointing would be on the hearers of your word today. I pray that we would open up our ears and our hearts and just hear what it is that you're trying to say to us this morning. Lord God, we just pray for our pastor this morning and his family, that they would have a good vacation and time away and rest. Give them safe passage back. Lord, we pray for those this morning who are in need, who are sick, Lord God, and couldn't be here this morning. We just ask you to touch them and bless them, Lord God. Lord, we just pray over our country this morning. Lord, we need you this morning. We pray for our church this morning. We need you this morning. And I pray, Lord God, that I need you. And we invite you in, Holy Spirit, into this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And so, I found this passage. I was up at Cornerstone Christian Academy. It's where my sister, it's in Harrisonburg. It's a school. It's where my sister works and her kids go. And I think it was for a birthday party. It's been some time back. And in the restroom, the men's restroom, the boys' restroom, over top of each stall and each urinal, they have verses. Probably about a year or so ago, I saw this verse. And it just stuck with me at the time. It said, "In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord." And it stuck with me for quite some time. And then I was up there not long ago again, and I saw it again, and I pulled my phone out and took a picture of it. And I could just feel God stirring in my heart something in that message. And the thing that really jumped out to me, and I'll get into this a little later in my sermon, was the part that said, "those days." And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But this passage is found in the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is the author of it. And Jeremiah was a man that was called in an early age to be a prophet. Jeremiah's father was a priest. But Jeremiah was given a very difficult task. And Jeremiah was to go to his countrymen and warn them that they were going to face famine, they were going to face persecution. Not only that, that they were going to face being attacked, overran by a foreign nation. And Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet because all the stuff that God was laying on him to share, it was a heavy burden. Could you imagine having to come and preach or tell a message to someone that, hey, your families, your children, you yourself, you're about to go through some stuff. And the thing about it is they had it good for so long because they had been following God. And this happened many times in Israel and Judah's existence. They would find themselves close to God. God would begin to bless them. And as God blessed the nation, those blessings soon pulled their time away from God. And so they found themselves this time way away from God. And they had lost interest in God and in what it truly meant to serve God. Oh, they would still have their Sunday services, and it would still be a form, but their hearts were far from God. And God allowed this to go on and on and on until God finally said, I can't deal with it anymore. I've created you to worship me. I've blessed you. I've done these things for you. And so get to a point where there's several different books. Daniel lived in the midst of the Exodus, which took place during this. Jeremiah was one of the prophets. There's several prophets that began to come on the scene. But Jeremiah is known as a weeping prophet because when he had to deliver it, it just weighed on him so much. And so he had this task to come and to share what God had laid on his heart. And the Assyrian Empire at the time was in decline. And so Egypt and Babylon were the two rising empires. And they would begin to compete for who would be the dominant empire of that time. And God told Jeremiah that Babylon would be the one that would come in and do the destruction to your people, even to Jerusalem. And so Jeremiah would take what God had told him to speak on, to preach, and Jeremiah would take that message and he would deliver it to his people, and the people didn't listen. They didn't want to hear it because life was so good. God's not that kind of God. And so he preached for 40 years, or gave his message for 40 years. And the thing about it is Jeremiah preached, and when I was studying, I found a couple of these things that were written down, and it kind of jumped out to me. Jeremiah preached, and this is still true today, that the only hope of a decadent nation was its spiritual regeneration. The only hope of a decadent nation is its spiritual regeneration. In other words, complete surrender to God's will was the only way to escape calamity. Jeremiah, when he preached these messages, he was despised. He was rejected by his countrymen, not only by his countrymen, not only by the secular world or the sinners. Jeremiah was rejected by the leaders of the church. The leaders of the church would actually come and write letters to other leaders and tell them, hey, are you hearing what this guy is saying? This is not true. Our God's a good God. You will live in peace. We need to do something about Jeremiah. A matter of fact, in chapters 28, which was the one previous to 29, of course, and then at the end of 29, there are two people that spoke out against Jeremiah. One of them is Hananiah, and one of them is Shemaiah. They both opposed him. Shemaiah even went so far as that he complained to Zephaniah. And Zephaniah was one of the leaders of the church, and he told Zephaniah that Jeremiah was not called by the Lord. What you're saying, that can't come from God. You're not called by the Lord. Not only that, he demanded that Jeremiah would be punished. And so here you have a man of God that's hearing from God. It breaks his heart, the message he has to bring. He's preaching the truth, but it met opposition. It's the way it's always been with God's word. That's the way it always will be. When you begin to speak or to preach or to stand for God's truth, can I tell you, you'll always meet opposition. When we begin to stand up for God and for what's right and for God's word, not just as a preacher, but as a layperson, as a Christian out in this world, you begin to stand up for Christ, you'll find yourself losing friends, you'll find yourself possibly losing jobs, you'll find yourself being outcast, being looked down, being talked about, talking about maybe that you're just not educated enough, that you're a denier of this and a denier of that. I'm sure many people here have faced that. And if not, I challenge you to take a bigger stand for the God that you serve. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where any Christian or anyone that ever took a stand for God never met opposition. So Jeremiah met this opposition. We come to chapter 29, the chapter that I'm going to, I want to use my, and got my text from. Jeremiah is actually writing a letter to the exiles. Okay, the exiles were those that were taken away by the Babylonians. So we know that Daniel was one of the exiles. You understand, here's one of the things that let me help you understand what took place here. I've shared this some with the men and men's ministry, is that God doesn't judge a nation based on us gathered here in this service today. And we feel like that we're Christians and there's other churches going on, and God would never ever judge a nation because here we are worshiping Him, singing those songs. God wouldn't do those things to us. Can I tell you that in this time, there were people that served God wholeheartedly, and yet they were taken away in captivity. Can I tell you that the Babylonians, before they became the empire that they were once nothing more than nomadic goat herders? They rose to power from nothing. God raised them up and used them to punish His people. God used them against His own people. And yes, there were people there that served God. And we don't want to hear that. We think that's Old Testament stuff. Can I tell you, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Jeremiah writes this letter, and here's what Jeremiah is saying in the 29th chapter. Get ready for a long stay. You're going to stay there for 70 years. Go ahead and build some homes. Go ahead and plant some gardens. Go ahead and eat. Go ahead and marry. Go ahead and have kids, because you're not coming home anytime soon. Make peace with the city that you live in. And pray for the people who took you captive. Now you understand why Jeremiah might be called the weeping prophet. Could you imagine having to write that letter to those? Wouldn't it be better for them to hear, hey, God's a good God all the time. And all the time God is good. And that's true. But he had to write a letter and saying, hey, you're going to stay there. And God knows. The thing about it is God used this, and God would protect the people by taking them in exile. because the people who were left behind got overran. But God knew how long it would take them to get their hearts right with Him. In other words, God knew how long it would take for them to get to a point where they actually truly came back and served. 70 years is a long time. A long time. It's a long time to be held captive. It's a long time to be a slave, that's what it is, to someone else. And Jeremiah had to write those letters, and even when he wrote that letter, they were still telling him, you're wrong. God's going to send you back home soon. Don't worry, this will be over with. That's our God up there. The one that parted the Red Sea, you're going home soon. I just couldn't imagine how hard that would be. And then we get to our verse and it says, in those days. And I could just imagine, I think about that, and I began to think about what those days. And then I started thinking about, you know what, you go through life and you ever heard the saying, you ever have one of those days? Anybody in here ever have one of those days? And I think if you're not raising your hand, you're probably not being honest. That's right. And one of those days, I had to look it up. You know that there is even a definition for one of those days. And here's part of that definition. It says a day in which many bad and unpleasant things happen. It seems like everything you do just blows up, right? Whether it be at work, whether it be whatever it may be. Now, could you imagine being held in captivity? I could imagine that people had a lot of one of those days where it just felt like life would not get any better. Where it just felt like, you know what, it's no use in me trying, God. I'm having one of those days. And have you ever been in a situation where one of those days turned into one of those days that lasted days, weeks, months, years? It happens. It happens. I've had one of those days. I've had periods in my life when one of those days lasted for years. And so one of those days happens to us all. And I believe those people over there were having one of those days, and it would have been better to come and have a message for those people that would encourage and lift them up. And I know it weighed on Jeremiah. And I know it weighs on us when we go through periods of our life where we have one of those days, and it's a continual thing. I look out across our landscape, and I just believe that our nation as a whole has been having one of those days for quite some time. I believe our nation's struggling to find footing in doing the right thing. I believe as a whole that our nation, the leadership, regardless of what party it is, regardless of whatever, our nation as a whole has been making wrong decisions. As far as the laws that we create that allows us to destroy the unborn. That allows us to teach certain things that they teach and bring into young kids in school. That's not lining up with God's word. As I said before, God is not going to judge our nation based on us sitting in here today. God's going to judge our nation based on the laws that our leaders are making. And the further those laws get away from God, the further we'll find ourselves, or the closer we may find ourselves, to reaping the same thing. If not, God would have to go back and apologize to the people that lived at this time. God's not going to allow us to live a certain way and turn around and punish someone else for living that same way. It doesn't work that way. Not only can our nation have one of those days, do you know that churches can have one of those days? The body of Christ, just our church in general, you can have changes in the church. People leave, people get mad, people get upset. Sometimes you feel like the right decision is not made, or you don't like the type of songs they sing, and they've done away with the old and brought in the new. We're just having one of those days. It's not right. Nothing's going right. We're making all these decisions. Friends leaving. You know, churches can have one of those. Communities, Buena Vista, can have one of those days. We all know the finances and the things that go on in the city. But I really feel like one of the things I come to preach on to you about is, do you know that as an individual, one of those days can be the things that really bring you down in life. And there are a lot of things in our life that can bring on one of those days. There can be things that we do ourselves that cause us to have one of those days. Bad choices we make in life, seriously bad choices, whether it might be to take the party in too far continuously and become an alcoholic, to become a drug addict. It could be making bad decisions that where we find ourselves in trouble with the law, that where we yes, you know what, we can find ourselves in trouble with the law. We can find our children doing bad things. We can find things going on in our life. We can find ourselves in the midst of a marriage that is failing. And you know what? Loneliness can set in. You can't figure out what went wrong, what's going on in life, and all of a sudden, one of those days turns into one of those months, which turns into one of those years, and all of a sudden, you're sitting down and you're saying, I'm just having one of those lifetimes. When is it all going to change, and what's going wrong with me? What is it that is going to take for me to turn this corner? God, I just don't understand why I'm continuing to have one of those days. My life is a wreck, and I need you to help me put it back together. We go through struggle after struggle after struggle, and the things that we go through, they might not just go away. Losing a loved one, losing a child, with COVID going on, we see people, it's one of those days in my life. And you know, it's not fun to live through one of those days. One of those days brings on fear. I could imagine if you lived captive at that time, there would be fear in your life. It brings anxiety. It brings worry. It brings stress. You don't want to get up and go to work. You don't want to put your best foot forward. As a matter of fact, you might not even feel like putting your best foot forward when you come into church. I'm speaking to somebody out there this morning that's been having one of those days, and you've been having it for a long time. And you're just trying to figure out when that corner is going to turn. I heard this song, and I've heard it before, but I never paid any attention to the lyrics. And it's a song by Casting Crowns. It says that things we go through, it says, I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. And once again, I say amen. It's still raining. I was sure by now, God. Anybody be honest this morning? Do those words ring in your heart? You know what, God, I was sure by now. I've given my life to you. That it'd be over with by now. I was sure, God, that you would have reached down into my marriage and fixed my marriage and wiped our tears away. I would have sure by now, God, that you would have healed me from this cancer. You would have saved the day. But once again, I just say amen, but yet it's still raining. I don't know if anybody in here can identify with that, but I tell you what, I can in periods of my life. I feel like, God, I just don't know. I don't have the answer. It's just one of those days. But I really like it because This verse gives us the answer. Can I tell you something this morning? If you are in the midst of something in your life that is a crisis, whether you are saved or unsaved, you're in the right place this morning. I believe God brought this word for us this morning that are here. I don't believe anything is by accident. I believe God lines things up. God lined it up that I would be speaking this morning. God lined it up that I would find that verse. God lined this message up that you'd be sitting here or listening this morning online. And God knows the hearts of the people that are here. And God is drawing you to hear this. And God has come to tell you this morning that in those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found of you, says the Lord. How powerful are those words to someone that's having one of those days? In those days when you look for me, I will listen. That's God speaking. That's not me speaking this morning. God is speaking to someone this morning and telling you, today is the day. This is the day. If you would just call unto me wholeheartedly. Psalms 55:16 says, ask for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Is there something you need saving out of? Do you need saving for your soul for eternity? Do you need saving from some situation that you feel like you're in? Do you need saving or healing this morning? I believe God's here to say, if you would just come and look for me wholeheartedly. Romans 10:12-13, I'm about to break it down for you that it's not just Old Testament. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto those who call upon him. We have a God that wants to be rich to you this morning. We have a God that has seen your struggles. He knows the captivity you've been in. And I'm here to tell you that it's time for one of your days to be put to rest. There may be some things that linger and you may remain in captivity, but I'm telling you, God wants to help lighten the load this morning. God wants you to turn to him wholeheartedly. Can I tell you something? We can't wait on our leaders and we can't wait on our nation. We can't wait on someone else to step down and say, you know what, God, I understand that I haven't been serving you wholeheartedly. I need to get with you wholeheartedly. I need to begin serving you. I realize and see what's taking place in the world today. I understand what's at stake here, not just in my life, but in my kids' life, in my community's life, in my nation's life. Can I tell you something? Before we can have a revival of our nation, we got to have a revival of ourselves. We need to get ourselves right with God. Can I tell you something? They opened up the football games. Go Cadets. They opened up the football games, and I didn't turn a TV station on, not one channel that I didn't see a packed house. And here the church is, doors wide open. Is the house packed today? Or people jumping around? Or people running to the altar? Can you understand why I'm up here preaching to you? And God's trying to tell you this morning, we all need to draw closer to God. If we want to end those days, we need to come. God's saying, if you would just come to me today. Today is the day of salvation. I'm going to ask if you would to stand, please. Ask the musicians to come forward. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't believe that's just talking about your spiritual eternal salvation. I believe when God speaks of saving, God wants to save us from situations and save us out of things we need to be saving out of. God wants to save us from backsliding. God wants us to be on fire for him. God is calling us this morning. And let me tell you how good God is. I shared this with the men also, and I can't get over John 16:33. Jesus tells us, he was speaking to his disciples at one of the most trying times in his life. I guarantee you, men, that those men sitting around there when Jesus was having the Last Supper and telling them, one of my friends is about to betray me, I'm about to be crucified, you're about to be scattered. I guarantee you those men were beginning to say, I'm having one of those days. This is what Jesus told him. He said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ is here this morning, and he's already overcome the world. And our God is a rich God. I just read it to you. It's not me just making something up. What is it that's holding you back? What is it that's keeping you where you are? Your reputation, it won't get you to heaven. Fear of losing friends, they won't get you to heaven. Fear of being looked at as a lesser man because you come and shed some tears and got on your knees and said, God, I'm sorry. I think it takes a bigger man to do that than it does to stand back and say, I'm not going down there because I'm too big of a man to do that. You see, I believe with all my heart God is extending His mercy and grace to us for just a little while longer. There's work to be done. I have two little girls. And it's hard to watch and see what's going on in the world and how evil it's become to try as a father to raise them up in safety, to point them to Christ, to work a job, to maintain a marriage, and myself stay on fire for God. And can I tell you, as a man of God and a preacher of God, I failed at that. I'm so glad God said, if you would just come to me wholeheartedly, I'll listen. I'm going to ask everyone here, if you would, to bow your heads this morning. I want you to be serious this morning with God, not with me. Say, God, you know what? I can't wait on somebody else any longer. I want to be one of those people that helps lead revival. That becomes a voice to children, that takes a stand for what's right. But not only that, God, I want to be as close to you as I've ever been in my life. Next thing I want you to allow to work with you is, you know, you've been having one of those days for a long time. This message is hitting home as clear as anything you've heard in a long time. It's hitting home. You could jump up and down and tears begin to fall and you can say, I know it's me. I'm having this message is for me. I'm here to tell you something as a preacher this morning. God gave me that word for you that if you would just call upon Him in those days, today's that day. I'm going to turn this mic over. And anyone that needs to come and pray, for whatever reason it is, these altars will be open for just a few minutes, and then I'm going to take the microphone back and I'm going to lead us in a closing prayer.